Thank you all much for that greeting, and as we now gather ourselves together around the reading of God's Word today in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place by God, for God, by the Spirit. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Your thought for today is God in Christ reaches out into the world and gathers his church. God in Christ reaches out into the world and gathers his church. This particular part of Ephesians is still the in Christ part. We'll eventually get to the part of Ephesians where it'll be like life in the church and then Christ in you as you go out into the world. But right now we're talking about the basic structure of the church and what holds it together and how it was formed. And this history lesson that Paul has given to the church of Ephesus, he's wanting them to know that all of you Gentiles in the church of Ephesus were once without hope. But the reason that you have hope now is because Christ has come and he has made a way to bring you into that family. You see, in God's plan of salvation in the ancient world, he established the nation of Israel. He called his people. He called them a chosen people. He put into them the prophets and all of those who were to carry his word to them. And the nation of Israel was to be his mission, or his missionary, if you will. But it was a nation that had been set apart by laws and structure and all of those kinds of things that gave them an identity as holy people, holy and precious to God. In God's decree, he would bring individuals into contact with that nation. And by bringing them into contact with that nation, they would hear God's word. They would be exposed to God's truth. And then they would be brought into that family as a member of that nation. We have the individuals that in the Old Testament that were encountered in that way and brought into the nation of Israel. And so we have that established that God had set them in his wisdom. They represented God on earth. And it talks about the circumcision and uncircumcision of the flesh. The people of Israel were to have an identifying mark of faith that was called circumcision. And by having that identifying mark of faith, they had a physical identification with the living and true God. Those Gentiles were not called to that, and so their mark, they did not have that mark in their flesh that identified them as people of God. But Paul is saying, because of Christ now, because of what Christ has done, and he introduces this with that famous "but now." He had a "but God" in that last passage that we talked about last Sunday. But now. So this is how it was set up. This is how God had decreed it to happen. This is how God wanted the world to be. But now, he says. And so this "but now" comes in, and you were made anew in Christ. He talks about those who were near and far. What he means is that those who were in the family of God, the Jews, were very near to the promises. They were near to the commands and all of the ordinances that God had established. And those who were afar were the Gentiles, who were apart, who were out of the nation of Israel. And they were considered to be far from those. They were not near in a sense of knowing and understanding. If you go and you read through the book of Leviticus and other areas in the Old Testament, you'll see how many laws that God had established. And some people ask me sometimes, why did God have so many rules and laws? You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't bind two kind of pieces of clothing, you couldn't do weird things like boiling a baby goat in its mother's milk. Why did God have all of these kind of weird things for his people to follow? Well, the answer is, folks, that he wanted to be on the people's minds at all times. He encouraged them in Deuteronomy to set my word on your doorsteps and on your doorpost. In other words, your doorpost, so that it'll be in your coming in and your going out. They had practices called phylacteries, where they would take a small box and they would tie it to their arms, and inside that box would be a tiny rolled up scripture. Why was that done? It was to keep God on their minds at all times. I want to be before you at all times. I want to be the face that you see. I want to be the voice that you hear. I want to be the wisdom that you receive, the wisdom that you act on. I want to be the love that you show to others. It was to keep God on their minds at all times. But now in Christ, we have a new way of knowing that God is here. Because Christ has brought together Jew and Gentile. He says that dividing wall of hostility. I want to paint a picture of what God had done to protect his people. All of those ordinances, all of those laws, all those rules were like a dividing wall that separated his people from the world, to set them apart. And I want us to think of ourselves now as being a people set apart. The church is that called, or those called out ones. That's the Greek term ecclesia for the church, means the called out ones. So we have been called out from the world. And we have been set apart by the world, not so much anymore by the physical mark of circumcision, but by the sealing of the Holy Spirit that has set us apart from the world. The boundaries that have been established in our lives that separate us from the world is the love of Christ and the salvation that is offered to us through that working of the Holy Spirit to regenerate us, to give us a new way of thinking, and a new way of encountering the world and each other. And in that new way of encountering the world and each other, we have been set apart to establish what is right and what is holy and what is good. And we show the world what is right and what is holy and what is good by living our lives in a way that glorifies God, that we uphold his laws, that we uphold his love, that we show the world each day that we are different, that we show the world each day the strength of God by being his new creation. And so those boundaries there that once separated Israel from the world have been established or reestablished in a new way by the Spirit's presence with each of the family, with each member of the family of God. And so we have those boundaries. We have that love. We have that newness of approach to the world that God gives to us when we are regenerated. And we encounter that world. In essence, we keep clean by God's presence, by not joining in to those things that we know that displeases God. Now, I understand that sin happens. I'm not saying that we are perfect. But what we do by living our life each day in surrender to God's leadership, in surrender to God's wisdom, is that we show the world that you can be different. You show the world that you can overcome sin. And we do it by the power of God that's inside of each of us. And the more that we overcome sin, the more that we show the world that it can be done. The more that we overcome sin, the more that we show the world that God's strength inside of us can be used
to overcome the power that wants to pull us aside, that wants to cast us away. That is the power that is offered to us by the grace of God. When He regenerates, when He reestablishes us as His people, when He creates the sculpture that is us, God's people, that is His that was His calling for Israel. But as we all know, Israel failed, and so that new man, that new way of establishing God's people came through Christ and by the power of that Spirit. So all of those ordinances, all of that sacrificial system, Paul is saying, has now been satisfied and fulfilled in the body of Christ, in the life of Christ, in the resurrection of Christ, in the work of Christ that He accomplished and succeeded in when He walked upon the earth. Now I want to paint a picture for you too. This is the same picture that I shared with the young people today. I know that all of you can't see this, but if you think of a drawing of a framed house, each of us folks is a component in that drawing. Now, I just want to share my heart with you here this day. What holds a church together? What makes a church glorifying to God? It's about how well that church is held together. The structure of that church. Christ is the foundation. He's the cornerstone, it's called. Now, in ancient building and in modern building practices, you want your walls to be straight. You want your walls to be plumb, as it's called, straight up and down. Because if they're not straight up and down, it's going to make the structure weak. Christ is the foundation that you and I build upon that makes Union Church strong. When that foundation is Christ and we stand upon that foundation, then we are in the process of building a good, strong structure. The cornerstone image is what gave squareness, if you will, and alignment to those walls. The cornerstone was a stone that took great time to make, and it was as square as humanly possible. It was as straight as humanly possible. And it laid the pattern for those walls to be built upon. And that's what Christ is doing. And that's what Christ wants to be in your life. Is to lay the pattern for Him to continue to build upon. To make you as individuals into a glorious structure for Him. And then all of us joining together to make us together a more glorious structure for Him. And so in that idea of a church, you have the foundation that is Christ. His truth, His image, His pattern sets the tone, sets the direction for our growth, keeps us in line, and gives strength to us. As I shared with these young people, each one of you is considered a part of that structure. Each one of you lends your strength to the overall strength of that church, of this congregation that we call Union. And in looking outward from us in the overall body of Christ that encompasses the whole world. That's why Peter could call us living stones that are being used to build a temple of God. Because each one of us lends strength, each one of us lends our individual gifting, each one of us lends it ourself. There's a pattern, an idea, I'm hoping that I'm getting you to see this, of surrendering your individuality to become part of a structure. A 2x4 sitting out there in the yard has an individuality about it, an individual nature. It's a 2x4. But you take that nature and you put it into a structure. Now it lends its gifting. It lends its structure into the whole. And by lending itself into the whole, it surrenders of itself to give its gifting, to give its strength to that whole structure. and it helps that structure be strong. If any of you are familiar with building, you know that the pattern of building is in such a way so that that structure can carry a load. A load is what comes down upon the structure. The load is the weight of the structure itself. The load could also be in some areas of the country snow that would accumulate on the roof. In this part of the country, a load could be stress from wind. But each part of that structure is designed and made and so fastened together so that the load is distributed in a way that that structure can survive and withstand the load that it needs to have, that is put upon it. Each of us have loads that the earth, that this world puts upon us. We've got fears, we've got doubts, we've got our individual sins. We've got all of those loads that our encounter with this world gives to us. Just like that 2x4 or 4x4 or concrete block gives it strength and stability to help support the load of that overall building, that overall structure. Your individual strength in surrendering of yourself to become part of a structure gives strength to this congregation, because the loads that each of us carry can be made lighter by the help that it receives, the help that we receive within this congregation. And that's the pattern of the church that Christ has put together. What Paul was wanting the church in Ephesus to understand is that together we are strong. Your presence here, your contribution of your strength, of your gifting, your presence here makes this church stronger. Your presence here, as I've said many times, gives encouragement to others that this is important, what we do here. That this gathering together on Sundays and other times during the week is important. Your presence here marks this as being something that is important. If you just had a beam hanging up there in the air, and on top of it was the whole roof, and you didn't have anything under it to support it, do you think you would give a measure of importance to that beam, even though it was holding up so much? The support that that beam has underneath it, if you're building a structure, lets everybody know how important that beam is. Because if that beam is not supported, it will not be able to do its job. It will not be able to do its job well. And so each of us coming here together is that support that lets each other, all of us, know the importance of what we do here. The encounters that we have with God on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, and at other times as deemed by our worship schedule. Your presence here lends importance to that. It lets others know that you see this as an important thing. If you are a member of a group, your presence in that group at its meetings lets others know that you see that as an important thing. And ultimately, you see God as important enough to step aside and to join together in the structure, in the group that helps the church become strong and stay strong and give glory and honor to God. That's what gives structure. That's what gives strength to a church. The same as in a house, an individual support, an individual piece of lumber can get weakened over time. That building is not going to collapse because a piece or two gets weak over time. Why is that? Because the overall structure of that building holds it up. That's why we build them that way. So that a piece or two can get weak. A piece or two can lose its structure, lose its strength. And the overall structure of the building helps hold it up. I've seen buildings where termites have eaten away at a 2x4, and you could take it and do it like that, and the 2x4 just swings in the air, but that building is there. It holds together. And folks, that's the benefit of being in a body like this and being a part of it and seeing it as important. Because when you get weak, we help hold you up. And when I get weak, you help hold me up. And that's what it's all about. And that's what church is all about. Being part of that structure, being held up. But we have to be willing to give up of our individuality and become part of that building, that structure that lends itself to strength and beauty so that God's church can be a beautiful thing. So that God's church can just show His glory and His radiance and His beauty to the whole world. That's what church is. That's what this church is. 160 years God has used this church as His footprint in this community. And for it to continue, others have to be willing to step in, just as our ancestors and our predecessors stepped in and they gave up of themselves to be part of something bigger than themselves. To give glory to God and strength to others. Structure. Because the devil is that wind. The devil is that snow load. And he keeps pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. And for us to give glory to God and be all that God wants us to be, we have to give up ourselves to that structure and become part of that. And see the durability of the structure as more important than our individual needs from time to time. This is not saying that we live our lives of monastical duty, living behind walls, chanting scripture, but that the overall thrust of our life is just like God wanted Israel to be, where he had all of those rules and ordinances. Keep me in your face. Keep me in your face. Let me be on your mind. Why do we wander? Why do we go astray? Because we lose focus. Someone asked me the other day, we were talking about, I forgot who it was now, but we were talking about how when you get older, you know, you just can't remember things as well as you used to. And I told him, I said, me personally, in the gospel according to Marty, I think it's not so much our memory's fading, but our focus gets weaker. Our focus gets weaker. We can't hold things in front of us like we used to. I don't know why, but I think that's what it is. And so God wanted Israel to focus on Him. We talked about this last Wednesday night. We talked about how Jesus was encountering those men that came to Him. And they said, I'm going to follow you, but first. I'll follow you wherever, but first. And to the one who said, I'll follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my folks. And then Jesus said, the one that sets his hands to the plow and then looks back, that's not good. And I gave an illustration of my father running rows. Your fathers may have done the same thing with a mule. And the reason that he kept those rows straight is that he had a focus. He looked at a landmark and he drove that mule and he guided that mule toward that landmark. And when he turned around, he had another focus and he guided that mule toward that landmark. And in doing so, he made a straight row. He didn't wander all over the garden path. An illustration that I use there, if you're driving down the road and you see something that distracts you and you're holding a straight course, and when you look over like that, you see the natural flow of your hand. And pretty soon your car is over the line in one way or the other. And you get that brrrr, you know, that they put on the side of the roads. Up, straight off course. The Holy Spirit's a brrr. But the focus, that's what it is, folks. It's the focus. It's keeping God in front of you. Keeping Christ in front of you. That's what holds us together. That's what keeps us going down a good path. When you are willing to keep Christ in front of you, He's not wanting to take away from the joy of your life, the freedom of your life. He's just saying, keep me in front of you. And if you keep me in front of you all the time, and if you put me first all the time, then your roads will be straight. Your walls will be straight. They'll be plumb and they'll be strong. And they'll give the structure to the church that God wants you as an individual participant to give to that church. But to do that, you got to be focused. You got to keep Christ in front of you. You got to keep His truth in front of you. His service in front of you. His love in front of you. And keep that focus. Your hands are to the plow. You're being joined together into a structure. Whichever one of those illustrations help you remember. But keep your rows straight. Keep your walls straight. And we do that by focusing on the landmark, the cornerstone, which is Christ. You do that, this church will prosper. You don't do that. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for the grace that is ours in Christ and for the lessons that we have in Ephesians about what makes a strong church. And so, Father, I pray that your word this day will fall on open and receptive hearts, that we might be your people, and you alone may be our God. Father, keep our walls and our rows straight, and may we lend its strength to the body of Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.